Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I don't know how many times we've said it. Put Lewis Riddick in the booth.
Yes.
We said it year after year. He is outstanding at what he does. If he's not going to run a franchise, the place for Lewis Riddick is the Monday Night Football booth. And ESPN has done just that. We love talking football with him. And he joins Waddle and Sylvie on the Corona Hotline right now. Lewis Riddick on ESPN 1000. Lewis, congratulations.
Yes, congrats.
Guys, it's been a long time coming, huh? I mean, it's been something that, it's really meant a lot to me to try and get this assignment. And it's been a career goal. It's a huge stage, huge responsibility, great opportunity. And I thank you guys a ton for all your support and how much we've talked about it on air in different ways and kind of woven it into all the different things we've talked about. And now time to let it rip, right? Now time to get out there to Denver and talk about some football. Talk about Drew Locke. Talk about Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry. Let's get to it.
Lewis, was there a time when you knew that this was your job, but you were also concerned that football was actually going to happen? And to have the season go off on time, just, it's unbelievably gratifying, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. I think, maybe you have some feeling about, how it's going to turn out, but you're never comfortable until it actually is announced and you get the green light and that's the way it's going to go. And then as far as the season is concerned, I think you're always worried, right up until the point where they actually kick the ball off, And tonight, when Texans actually play, is when you'll probably let out a little bit of a sigh of relief. But then always, you're always on to the next thing. Then you're worrying about, what's the game going to look like? How are the players going to react to it? And you just want everything to go smoothly. And then it's just on to the next week, Tommy. I mean, how that goes. I mean, it's a week to week business, man. And it's I'm just hoping that the league and the players collectively can do everything that's necessary to keep everybody safe and have it be a successful 2020.
Lewis, how confident are you that the league will be able to do that and the teams individually will show the discipline that's necessary to make this happen?
I'm very confident that the league has invested their time and their money to the point where they have thought about just about everything that they can think about to give the players a chance to be successful and help them both when they're, in the building, at the respective facilities, and then also help them to make good decisions when they're away from the facilities and keep themselves safe, keep their families safe. And then again, that goes for everybody, not just the players, but the coaches and support staff and everyone else that would be involved in the entire football operation. I know that they've worked hand in hand to try and make this work. Now, what it's going to be up to the players ultimately and the people themselves to make those good decisions and kind of carry it out as you start getting on into the season and where you have more time. You're not in training camp mode. You're not being, your time isn't being occupied from 6 a.m. until 10 o'clock at night with meetings and practice and weightlifting. It's going to be imperative that everybody hold themselves accountable and hold each other accountable. That's really where this is going to hinge on. Are you willing to make the sacrifice for the next 4 months that's necessary in order to carry this out in the middle of the pandemic?
Lewis,
that's a tall task.
Yeah,
I asked Waddle this question. In baseball, we've seen it here with the Cubs and Sox playing, that when a team does have positive tests, they can be left behind because they can make it up with 7-inning doubleheaders. There's way to do it. Baseball's more flexible than playing a weekly sport like football. Like, what would happen if a team would test positive and would miss 2 weeks? Do you have any idea on how that would be made up or how they would advance?
No, I don't. I don't. I mean, look, they're going to have, obviously you had the 53-man roster, and then you're going to have a 16-man practice squad as well. So there's a lot of players that are going to be available to the football team in order to hopefully absorb what is inevitably a few positive tests. And because of how extensively they're going to continue to test and the protocols that they have in place, you know, I'm sure they're very confident that they'll be able to catch, you know, any kind of positives and sequester them, isolate them, contact trace them to the point where they're able to prevent any kind of major outbreak that would put the season in jeopardy for individual teams. I really do believe, though, they're confident in the system that they have in place, that it will prevent that kind of thing. Now, I think the one thing that we've all figured out about this pandemic and about the times that we're living in now is we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what's on the horizon. We don't know how things are going to be once we get into October and November, when the regular flu season comes into play as well and people start having symptoms with the regular flu. And then, you know, there's just going to be a lot to deal with. But again, I give the league credit. They have done everything they could possibly do in conjunction with the individual teams and the training and medical staff to give this season every chance to go off with minimal hitches and see it through to completion. I know that for a fact. There are people who have been up night and day working on this, and they still are up night and day working on it, worrying about it, working on it, worrying about it, tweaking it, perfecting it. Because you guys know, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy, but I just know this. In a couple hours, we're going to watch the Chiefs and the Texans.
Yes.
And that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. And Lewis, this Sunday, we're going to watch Mitch Trubisky under center for the Chicago Bears. When you heard that he was the starting quarterback, what were your thoughts? Take it any direction you want.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was, really? That's really what I said. I said, really? And, you know, I sat and tried to think about it objectively. And I thought of it like this. Look, in an abbreviated training camp, okay, if the competition was as close as they say it is, as it was, and neither Mitch nor Nick were able to really do anything spectacular to the point where they felt as though they put distance between the guy who was lagging, then I can see where an organization is going to default to the incumbent and give them a chance first, and then let it play out based on the one loss record and how they see the team progressing, you know, from that point on. I can see that. And that's what it sounds like they're doing. I still, though, I will tell you this. Honestly speaking, I don't see this being how the season ends up. And I don't see this lasting very long. I don't see it being a situation where, I have to always say this, as much of a supporter of Mitch Trubisky's I have been, and will always be, because I always want to see players do well, I just don't believe that there's going to be something so different now that there wasn't in previous years, and that it's going to be one of those where they wind up sticking with him for 16 games, especially given the fact that Nick didn't do anything bad in this training camp at all. And I still believe if this was one where they had more time, meaning they had OTAs and mini camp and a full training camp and preseason games, where he could truly show in a game-type atmosphere with more exposures, exactly all the things that he is able to do within the context of this offense that Mitch can't, that he would have won that job. I believe that wholeheartedly, and I believe that they believe that wholeheartedly, but they decided to start with the incumbent because there wasn't enough time and or opportunity for Nick to separate himself. But I think it's just a matter of time. Because I think that, look, the heat is on in Chicago. The heat is on for Matt. They need to win. For Ryan Pace, they need to win. And you can't be playing favorites and or trying to protect your investments simply because you don't want to, you know, come to grips with the fact that maybe your investment wasn't the right one when you are faced with a situation like they're faced with, which is you better win because time's running out. And they know that. Matt knows that. Ryan knows that. This team knows that. So we'll see. I just believe that number nine will wind up being under center sooner rather than later.
Lewis Riddick joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So even though you were a believer in Trubisky, you don't believe the light will go on this year?
I don't believe it'll go on to the point where, you know, we see this dramatic change in terms of what he has been, what he will be, what he's going to be this year relative to what he's been in the past. Okay, I think there's been opportunity for him to do that, and I just don't, I don't see where it's, that all of a sudden it's going to click like that. I don't see this being a Jared Goff type of situation where he's with, you know, his rookie year he's with Jeff Fisher, the next year Sean McVay comes in and all of a sudden he flips it around and he is an all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber quarterback who's leading his team to the Super Bowl and making those kind of throws. I don't see that. I think there's enough of a resume here that kind of says these are the kind of things he's going to do well. These are the kind of things he's going to struggle with. This is where he's going to kind of get jammed up in his processing mechanism as far as making decisions and making big plays. These are the kind of things he is going to be able to do for you and help you win. And I just don't think that that's going to be enough.
Lewis, Matt was asked whether or not the opponents that they'll face early and Mitch's success against the Lions factored into the decision. And Matt said no. But I ask you, and I'm not suggesting Matt, you know, I'm not trying to call Matt a liar, but if their first two opponents weren't the Lions and the Giants, let's say they were the Packers and the 49ers, do you think the same decision would have been made, or do you think there was a chance that maybe the decision would have been different?
I guess there's a chance. I don't know if that came into it as much as really, again, because of the reasons that I laid out. I just don't think there wasn't enough time, or there just wasn't enough for them on tape from Nick for him to really, you know, come in and put the guy who was drafted number two overall on the bench. Because look, with that comes, you know, a lot of personal feelings and this feeling of personal investment in a guy who you drafted number two overall at quarterback for an organization. It's hard for you to sit that person down. It's hard for you to swallow that kind of change. I don't care what they said about, you know, this is an open competition, the best man's going to win. You're going to have to come in and blow his doors off in order for an organization to go, okay, Chicago, our loyal fan base, Bear fans, we're going to sit down this guy who we moved up to draft second overall in the same draft where two other guys just are now the number one and number two highest paid players in the entire league at the same position. It's hard for you to make that admission. It's just going to be hard for you to do, especially, again, in the face of the guy who you brought in to give him competition, not just blowing his doors off in the competition. I really think that's what it came down to. But I do believe there's going to come a point in time where Nick's number is going to be called. And he's going to have to play, and he's going to have to play well in order for this entire regime to remain in place, because I just haven't seen it where the Bears are going to win because of Mitch Trubisky. I just haven't seen enough over, you know, in his time being the starting quarterback, and I just don't see where something's just going to dramatically change this year, especially given the fact that he wasn't on the field with these guys all, you know, February, March, April, May, June, and didn't have a full training camp and have some preseason games to work out some kinks. He had an abbreviated training camp, too, as far as his development is concerned. So where is all this improvement going to come from? Simply because of the fact that he's kicked off, he's mad because they brought in, you know, Nick Foles, because everyone's saying, oh, I see him walking around with a much different attitude this year. You know what? We all walk around with attitudes when, you know, when people do things to us we don't necessarily like. It doesn't mean all of a sudden we're going to be so much better. So, I would expect him to have a different approach. I would expect him to have, you know, laser focus, laser sharp focus. But we know this, when they get out on the field and they kick the ball off, we're going to pretty much be who we are and who we're trained to be. And without that training this offseason within this offense and being around those guys and having all those different things to work on, you tell me where the improvement's going to come from. I just don't see it. Maybe it does, and we're having this conversation in January, and you're going, well, Lewis, you were wrong. He really did take off. And if he does, great, because that means the Bears are going to win.
Right. We're with you on all of this. Here's a question that I have for you, Lewis. How does Matt Nagy juggle the fact that, hey, Mitch hasn't seen any live pass rush? This has been the rarest preseason where they haven't played in a preseason. He hasn't gotten his legs under him. And the fact that, hey, maybe I've got to make a move because my job depends on it. So how do you play that out between making the move too quickly because a guy needs to settle in versus making it too late because my job and my butt is on the line here?
Yeah, I think that you're just going to have to you know, you're going to have to go with your gut. I mean, I don't think there is any perfect scenario. I don't think you have to, that you can wait for, well, we got to do it this game and we got to do it when, you know, when we can set Nick up for the, you know, with the best chance to succeed here and we want to have him do it this way. I just think, look, I think it's going to come down to this. It's going to come down to they're going to be in a game or it's going to be after a game and they're going to feel as though the offense is stalling out. They're not getting enough explosive plays. They're not capitalizing on the field position that the defense has given them. They're not. They're just not able to hold up their end of the bargain as far as the trifecta is concerned, offense, defense, special teams. And it's just going to be based on a feel that, hey, you know what, we need something different. We need a spark. And that has been a situation that Nick Foles has thrived in throughout his career. Okay, and I think we're looking at that happening sooner rather than later. I just do. I just feel that that's going to happen. And I know this is going to sound like I am just really down on Mitch Trubisky and I've done a total 180 on him, but I'm really not. I mean, it's just he is who he is. And that's sometimes just the way things go in the NFL.
Reality sucks sometimes.
That's right.
It just
unfortunately
does. Yeah. Overall, what would you predict our Bears team record to be at the end of the year? When you factor in everything, as you lay out how you think the quarterback thing will unfold, the defense, you put it all into your calculator, what record do you expect this Bears team to come away with in 2020?
That's hard to say, man. I mean, especially in this environment, you know, where so many different things are going to go into what a team's one-loss record is. And a lot of those things are things that we can't even really forecast right now. I mean, because we don't know if, you know, they're going to lose three defensive linemen in 1 week. We don't know if they're going to lose their entire inside linebacking core in 1 week. We don't know if they're going to lose both of their starting safeties in 1 week, which will totally throw the balance of power off for them and the rest of the league and vice versa for other teams who could wind up losing great players, and next thing you know, the Bears are sitting there at, you know, when come to the, you know, November, they're sitting there at like 8-1 or 9-2, and people are going, damn, I didn't expect that. Or we're sitting there and they're 1-8 because they've lost half their, you know, all their good players, and we're going, geez, they're much worse than I thought they were going to be. This is definitely the end of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. So I think also, you know what, ownership and people at the highest levels in organizations are going to really have to be careful as far as how they assess the performance of their teams this year. They're going to have to really take a lot of that into you know, their decision-making process and factor that in, especially when they're, you know, at this inflection point like the Bears are. You know, I know that management is going to want this team to win. They need this team to show serious improvement. But what if they just can't because too many players are hurt? Or what if one of the coaches, God forbid, gets sick too? And Matt Nagy's not able to be around. Or, you know, Bill Lazor's not able to be around. I mean, what happens then? How do you assess it then? So I think everyone's going to have to be very open-minded when it comes to really assessing the performances of their teams this year. So I think we're in for a wild ride. It's not going to go smoothly.
Right.
Really quick, Lewis, are you surprised with all the extensions handed out that Allen Robinson hasn't gotten one from the Bears?
You know, a little bit, because you know how I feel about Allen. I love Allen, and I support him publicly. I support him privately. I really do like him a lot. I think one of the things that's interesting about Allen is I wish it was just so clear and black and white just how good this young man is in a Bears uniform, but it isn't because he hasn't really been able to be a part of a very consistently productive passing game, and that's because of the inconsistency they've had at quarterback. So I think it's hard for the Bears to really kind of evaluate him and contextualize what he brings to them relative to the rest of the wide receivers in the league, because I don't think they know how good he really is because of the deficiencies they have at quarterback. Now, that isn't to say that something shouldn't be getting done, but you know what, I guess, and if you're Allen Robinson, I mean, that sucks for you too, right? Because you're sitting there going, hey, I'm one of the baddest dudes in this league at wide receiver, but I can't even show it. I can't really show it. I wish I was with the Kansas City Chiefs. You know how good I was then if I had Pat Mahomes throwing to me or Deshaun Watson throwing to me or Aaron Rodgers throwing to me. He's just in a bad situation right now. And I think that's slowing down maybe, you know, what the Bears are trying to do with him. Because in all these other situations where guys are getting big money, there is no there is no uncertainty as far as what these guys have done in the uniforms of the teams that they're currently playing for, and or the uniforms of the teams that they came from. Like, you know, when you're talking about DeAndre Hopkins and Jalen Ramsey, and then when you're talking about guys like Deshaun Watson, I mean, look, he's shown what he can do. You know he's going to get his money. You know that Pat's going to get his money. You know that Joey Bosa is going to get his, Myles Garrett's going to get his, because he's done it for those teams at a very, very, very high level. But Allen's kind of a little bit of a victim of the situation, and that's just unfortunate for him.
Lewis, great stuff as always. Have a great broadcast on Monday, and congratulations again.
You bet, guys.
Thanks, Lewis.
Very, very much. Okay.
There you go. There's Lewis Riddick. He's always can't miss radio. I want to get your reaction. A lot of people said, wow. Like, they were surprised on how hard he was on the Bears and his short leash that he has for Mitch Trubisky. The Bears' injury report is out.
Yep.
It's a mixed bag again. There's good news and there's bad news from it. We will deliver that to you next. Guys, fall is in the air and football is back in Chicago. There is no better way to watch a game than with a beer from Blue Moon Brewing Company. Enjoy a classic Blue Moon Belgian White, which is celebrating its 25th year anniversary. Or try a new Blue Moon Light Sky, brewed with a hint of tangerine and only 95 calories. Visit BlueMoonBrewingCompany.com to get Blue Moon delivered to your door. Celebrate responsibly. Blue Moon Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day we're highlighting one of the best sports bars in the Chicagoland area. Today we salute Deuces Major League Bar. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Sam Adams and Deuces Major League Bar, helping you celebrate the return of sports.
All right, so there is good news on the Bears injury report.
Yes.
David Montgomery went from limited to full participation today.
That tells me, you know, remember when all the cuts were made and there was no running back added? I think you could connect those dots at the time and say that, well, if they weren't going to pursue somebody, because the other options they have aren't great options to fill his role, I think you could conclude that maybe the injury was progressing, or the rehab from the injury was progressing at a good rate.
And when you go up from limited to full in the middle of the week, not just a Friday walkthrough, that's significant. That's a good thing. So most likely, David Montgomery will play. And the Bears did have some other guys go from limited to full. Cordarrelle Patterson, full participation. He was limited. Spriggs and Wims as well for full participation. The problem here is Robert Quinn, again, did not practice.
It sounds like that, I mean, if you're not practicing on Thursday, you're not playing on Sunday. Isn't that kind of like in today's NFL?
They keep saying he's a veteran. We'll see if he gets bumped up to a limited tomorrow. But he has had no reps in the shortened training camp. And now in the first week of practice, he has not even been able to do anything limited with his ankle injury.
Yeah, that's not good.
And then Khalil Mack did not go from limited to full. He remains limited with his knee injury. And I don't know if this is maintenance, if this is a new injury, is this something that he's been nursing? But those are two of your more important players.
It's not good news, but I'm not changing my bets. I'm not changing my stance. I still have the Bears winning on the money line and getting 3 points on DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Look, no offense to your gambling habits here, Waddle. What I'm more concerned about is last year I watched Khalil Mack ride the bicycle in fourth quarter drives while the Raiders were driving down the field. And I always said to you, I go, something doesn't seem right. And the production was down. And I know Leonard Floyd wasn't good.
And he was obviously dinged up at times.
Well, right. So that's my point here, that I'm not panicking or anything. What I don't want to start a football season, especially when you have a questionable offense and quarterback, is Khalil Mack to be banged up already before he even steps on the field at Ford Field for game one.
That's a very fair statement, especially for a team that we all believe is going to be led by their defense at least early on. So the last thing you want is the strength of your team to become more of a weakness because of injury.
Now, are they just playing injury games? Like a lot of people tweeted, Sylvie, they don't owe you anything. They don't need to tell you anything. But again, this is what they owe the league.
Yeah, this isn't.
And if they're not practicing, this isn't about me as a fan. This is about Robert Quinn, who's done nothing this preseason.
I believe that there are, I mean, like, listen, can they handle fines? Sure, they can handle fines. Isn't there some sort of monetary punishment if you are caught manipulating the injury list? So I don't think this is them, you know, manipulating the injury list. I think that this is obviously something that has been an issue. I mean, if you talk to anyone, talk to Dan Weider or Jeff Dickerson, I think they would tell you that Robert Quinn sightings were few and far between in training camp on the right. field, weren't they?
And remember, Mellor used to make fun of me years ago when what's his name? Jared Allen came here. Remember Jared Allen? And he did nothing in the preseason, and I kept saying I don't want to hear then during the year. Well, he never got right since the preseason. What I don't want to hear is that Robert Quinn was never right this year.
Yeah.
Coming off this career year in Dallas after you paid him.
Well, yes. I mean, he's north of 30, and you didn't pay him just this year. I mean, I believe there's $30 million guaranteed in that contract.
Right.
So, look, I'm not going to panic yet either. It's just not the ideal way to get the season started if both of your elite pass rushers are one of them is possibly not playing, and the other one is a little banged up, and maybe his snaps will be limited.
Because I want Khalil Mack with a 15 sack year this year.
Yes.
Like, that's what you're paying him. You're paying him to be a defensive player of the year candidate.
Listen, we asked the question a while ago. I mean, do you have any remorse about or regrets about the deal? If Khalil Mack has a season in 2020 that mirrors what we saw last year, then you start to think differently about how you answer that question. Because you're looking for, from him, you're looking for the performance you got in 2018 consistent.
Of course you are. And strange things happen. We always think that the star is going to bounce back. Has Chris Bryant bounced back in 2 years?
Mm-mm.
I'm not panicking. I'm just saying I'm
on
concerned
the alert
about Quinn and Mack. And
you're on the alert.
On the injury report. I'm on the alert. That's a good way to put it. All right, let's pick some division winners, wild cards. Do we have the Bears making the postseason? And your calls. Are you concerned about Quinn and Mack? 332-3776. And if you want to react to what you heard
from
Lewis Riddick about a short leash for Mitch Trubisky, 332-3776. Get blazing fast Wi-Fi with Neuro Curveballs. Xfinity XFi delivers the speed, coverage, and control that you need for the ultimate in-home Wi-Fi experience. And it's built for baseball. Stay connected to the White Sox with reliably fast speeds to stream every pitch and wall-to-wall coverage to watch anywhere in your house. All on a smarter, more secure network that keeps your entire lineup of devices connected and protected. This is beyond Wi-Fi. This is XFi. Xfinity, proud partner of the Chicago White Sox.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
If you're just getting into your car, we gave you the news that David Montgomery's been upgraded to full participation. So he'll probably play, barring last-minute changes. But Robert Quinn is out again with the ankle injury. Khalil Mack remains limited with a knee injury.
What does limited mean?
It could be anything. It could be you could do, like, three little drills, and you didn't do everything. You were limited. Or you may have missed one thing or two things and participated in most, and you were still limited.
See, you're right. I mean, I could see a Khalil Mack limited just doing individual drills, but, like, I'm nursing a little something here, so I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to save myself for Sunday in Detroit. So, like, I'm not going to panic about that. I'm not even going to be overly concerned. I mean, it's something to keep an eye on. The Robert Quinn thing, to me, is because I want to see those two guys 100% on the field at the same time. Especially, listen, I do respect the Lions offense. With Matthew Stafford healthy, You got to have your hands full with that offense. Not so sure I believe in their defense just yet, but a pass rush is key when you're facing Matthew Stafford. So
we want to see Akeem Hicks, Robert Quinn, and Khalil Mack all together on that line wreak havoc.
That makes me tingle.
Right, and last year we saw the impact of when Akeem Hicks misses games. Khalil Mack was a little bit banged up. Leonard Floyd isn't good, so he wasn't able to provide anything from the other side. So when you've got those guys functioning, now you've got yourselves a wrecking ball of the defense.
Remember also, you don't have Eddie Goldman there.
Right, he's opted out.
Yeah, Bilal Nichols, who I think has shown you signs of being a pretty solid, good football player, but this is year three. Does he take that next step?
332-3776 if you want to talk to us. Also, welcome to everyone in the Twitch audience, a new way to not only listen but watch the show. You can interact as well with not only us but the listeners. Go to twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Yes, sir.
All right, so what does Abdallah want us to do here or you do here? We're going to pick all the division winners.
I don't know.
I got scalded for jumping the gun earlier.
We work in sports radio, and the thing to do on the day of the season starting is everyone goes around and you pick who you think is going to make the playoffs, and then we completely ignore it for the rest of the season.
See, I hate all of you right now. This is fun. Football is fun.
I'm with you.
We can make picks,
yes,
and it is fun.
And then we stand
Abdallah
by them.
Abdallah with his attitude. Yeah, oh, it's sports radio. We got
to
do
it. No. I'm just saying. So he's like, what does Abdallah want us to do right now? Like, what?
Leave Sylvie alone.
It's my birthday. I don't want to have to
do
this.
It is his birthday. By the way,
I didn't even throw that out today yet.
By the way, are you 49 today? Or I thought you were 48.
49.
Happy birthday,
Wildcat. You're close to 50.
It's a big depressing one. It's my last year in the 40s.
Hey, but you got football today.
To get a football birthday.
Whoa, time out.
Glorious.
You've been given the green light to have a cocktail tonight too, haven't you?
I am, and I'm trying to figure out what. I'm allowed to have one tonight.
Make it a big one.
Well, yeah, if you drink straight from the bottle, it's just one. Right?
No.
What if you have like a 24-ounce cup?
This isn't like some 16-year-old who, hey, if I have a little bit too much, I may throw up. I've got some stuff I've got going on.
Okay, that's
I've
fair.
Given the green light here.
That's fair.
And I figured it would have been edible Thursday and Friday for the birthday.
I was given the green light for two on Saturday.
Oh, so
I've got the weekend mapped out.
Two big ones.
Now, yes. Is that like... So, can you just say, well, I want three in one day?
No.
And be like, I'm just going to drink them all tonight.
I sent a text message to my doctor last night. I mean, he must think I'm an alcoholic. It's this huge, big text message saying, look, tomorrow's my birthday. I'd like a drink. And then Saturday, I'm getting together with some friends. I'd like to have two. Do you think it's okay to have one on Thursday and two Saturday? But if I have to prioritize, I'd rather have two on Saturday and none on Thursday. But if you want me to not drink at all and just wait till the scan,
well, then
I'm
screw
good with that
you,
too.
Doc.
So yeah, and like I'm this whole big thing I wrote to him. I'm just it's been.
And
since...
then at the bottom of it said, or three on Sunday's an option.
Yeah.
Well, depending on how the Bears are playing, can I have one or two or possibly four? One of
after
those
bitch,
yeah.
A couple of interceptions.
All right, Abdallah, so you're going to change your attitude now with the picks here?
First of all, listen to this.
Let this wash over you.
This isn't going to be enough time for me. I've got to describe everything
right.
for
we should,
you.
We should do this on the other side here.
Football.
Do you want to talk about, why don't we do AFC right now? Because we don't care about the AFC.
Right,
and then we'll come back and spend more.
Who's your division winner in the East?
All right, AFC East winner is the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
The guy who always says, if I'm going to be late
you
to the party,
on the show today.
I'm going to be late to the party on the Patriots. I'm going to be late to the party on the Patriots. I picked the Bills.
I have the Patriots as a wild card. Do you know half their defense decided to opt out this year?
I'm going with a lot of philosophy. I'm taking the Patriots.
Okay, fantastic. I'm taking the Bills. I'm taking the Patriots as a wild card team.
Black Abdallah, are you guys picking the East winner here?
Yeah, we can. Yeah. I'm going Patriots. I'm with you, Sylvie.
Yeah, well, give him the benefit of the
doubt. I'm with you, Sylvie.
Yeah.
You're cool. Waddle's just a kiss ass. I almost said a bad word.
Kiss ass is what he is. I'm going to go with the Bills, Waddle. I like their defense.
For weed and drinks.
I like their defense. I like Josh Allen.
I don't really like Josh Allen.
I like Josh Allen enough to think that they'll win the division.
Listen, again, you know the majority of the Patriots' defense, a lot of the guys decided that, they didn't want to play this year because of the risk of COVID.
Oh, I know.
AFC North fellas?
Ravens.
Waddle, who are you going with?
I had the Ravens.
Ravens.
I didn't
win
convincingly.
All. Yeah.
Ravens.
Ravens.
Okay.
AFC South. AFC South. I wrote the Colts down and then scratched out their name and then didn't even include them in the playoff picture.
Really?
I get the
wow.
Titans again. The I get Titans. The Titans as the AFC South champs.
I wanted to take
a fart,
the Texans.
Or what was that?
But because of Bill O'Brien, I'm going to take the Colts. Think long, think wrong. While
I'm
going Colts.
I know. I'm not trusting Phil Rivers at this point. He's 90.
I'm going Texans.
I am going to take the Indianapolis Colts.
Ooh, okay.
Right.
Obviously, I think we're all taking the Chiefs in the West, right?
Yes.
Not so fast.
No, yeah, the Chiefs. Yeah, the Chiefs. Yeah. Chiefs. Who's that tool
Chiefs.
Behind you?
Chiefs, yeah.
Black,
Chiefs.
Who is that guy?
Chiefs.
All right, so I will go first. I'll give you my wild card teams. Remember, there's three this year. I've got the Steelers. I think the Steelers, fantastic coaching. Big Ben is back. Defense was very good last year. I've got the Patriots. I'm not completely riding off the Patriots. I'm have them as a wild card team, and I have the Texans. I did a lot of crossing off and writing down. I have the Texans as my third wild card team.
I'm going Steelers, I'm going Bills, and I'm going Texans.
So we basically picked the same damn team.
I'm going to go Steelers, Patriots, and the Texans.
Give me the Steelers, the Colts, and the L.A. Chargers.
Ooh.
Am I the only one that has the Titans going back to the playoffs this year?
They're out. Yeah.
Really?
Bounce them out.
Get them out of here. Fake.
Can't you see them having a little bit of a fall with Tannehill?
A little bit. 100%. A little bit.
Mike Vrabel gets to keep little Vrabel.
They play good defense.
Mike Vrabel gets to keep little Vrabel for another year.
Is he still offering to cut that thing off?
I don't
think it ends. I mean,
I don't think it was really an offer. I think he was just doing that to be bold. All right, we'll pick the NFC coming up next. And if you want to talk to us, 332-3776. Plus, Bart, what?
Well, I was going to say, we still haven't responded to what Lewis had to say as well, remember?
Right, yes. Mm. And Barstool Big Cat at 5 o'clock.
This hour is brought to you by ComEd. Look for the ComEd lower price sticker at participating retailers near you to save instantly on energy-efficient LED bulbs from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/instantly.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Looking over the NFC earlier this morning, guys, and I'm like, I want to make the Bears a surprise team. I want to make the Bears.
You're a surprise team, and you're a surprise team.
Yeah, the extra wild card team.
Wave your football wand at them and make them a surprise team.
But there's too many good teams in the NFC, at least at this point, until they prove it to me. I'm not saying that it's out of the realm of possibility they make the postseason, but it's really tough here to sit on September 10th and say they're better than this team, this team, this team, and that team.
So, I agree with you there. We may be proven wrong. I have them as an 8-8 bunch.
That's where I've got
hopefully
them.
They're better. You want to go through this exercise?
Let's start with the North. Let's start with the North.
I want you to do it in your best John Facenda.
I don't have a John Facenda.
The National Football League.
I've been calling the NFC North, the NFC Central all day, as the guys can attest. I don't know why.
It used to be that way.
I know.
It used to be the same.
I know. It used to be five teams. It used to be the current four and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That was a good trip every year.
Yeah, that's when I was playing back in the leather helmet era. That was our division.
And it was like it was a layup of a win for the Bears twice a year. When in the 80s, they stunk. They were the creamsicle box then.
So do we.
No, you guys didn't stink. All right, NFC North, Waddle.
I have the Green Bay Packers winning the NFC North. I don't believe they're 13-3. But I do believe that you have to respect them. They've got the best quarterback in the division. I think he is poised for a bounce back year. I'm still a little surprised they didn't add any true wide receiver help on the edge. The defense won't come out and surprise you as much as they did last year, but I think they're the best team in the division, so I've got them winning.
He basically gave every reason not to pick them.
Why don't they, like I said, now remember, I told you that I'm not going to, the Green Bay Packers may be the only NFC North team that I have going to the postseason.
Yeah, they overperformed, and you know, their defense isn't that great, and they don't have any weapons.
Their defense was really good, but they're not, their defense isn't going to be as good this year. Aaron Rodgers will be better this year, but they won't be 13-3. How about that? Put that in your football pipe and smoke it.
For all the reasons Waddle said, I've got the Packers not making the postseason at all. And I've got Aaron Rodgers in a Bears uniform in a year or two.
Well, you're high.
So out of the NFC North this year, I am taking the Minnesota Vikings again.
Pour two shots of that, Sylvie. I'll take the Vikings.
Give me three.
Wow, a bunch of Kirk Cousin fans in there, huh?
Well, you have to.
If you're going to win the division, mighty division, you're going to have to get quarterback play, good quarterback play from the guys you guys all hate.
Or average, like you say. Just be average. NFC East, Waddle.
I've got the Cowboys. I believe Cowboys are the best of the East.
They finally rise to what they should be.
Yeah.
I've got the Cowboys winning the division as well.
And then we'll find out whether or not Dak Prescott will be a free agent in 2021.
Cowboys.
We, them, boys.
Wow. 4-0 there for the Cowboys.
So congrats on the Cowboys on not winning the making it to the playoffs this year.
Remember that division last year? Yeah. Whoa, that was ugly. What about the NFC South, guys?
NFC South, I have the Saints as the cream of the crop.
I am buying the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Bucks.
Wow. Bucks. Saints. Waddle and I. Waddle and I.
You and I are aligned. It's the weed in the drinking machine. What is our T-shirt says? I smoke, I drink. Like, you and I have there's a picture of you. It says, I smoke. And on the back, I say, I drink.
Like a picture of Abdallah smoking the secondhand smoke to you and you inhaling it.
Whoa.
What's this lady in the train now?
What are you doing?
Are we sharing spaghetti dinners too?
What are you talking about? Here, Waddle, try a little of this.
How about we just wear a T-shirt that says, I smoke and I drink? I mean, can we just leave with that?
I don't smoke it.
Okay, just play along.
How about the
Saints for me.
NFC West.
I had 49ers.
I'm going with the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
I'm also going with the Seattle Seahawks.
Wow.
Yeah, Seattle Super Seahawks.
All right, here we go. Wild cards.
Hit
a wild card.
I have the Seahawks as a wild card team coming out of the West. I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a wild card team coming out of the South.
And?
I have the Philadelphia Eagles as a wild card team coming out of the East. I told you all that I am not riding with our division this year. I have one team from the North going into the postseason.
Of course, it's the Packers. Come on now. Why don't you say that you love the Green Bay Packers?
Will this be a headline? Former Bear picks against the Bears to make the playoffs in 2020?
Packers.
Yeah, and only picks a pack.
Yeah, this former Bear picked him to get to the postseason last year. What happened?
Attention, read all about it. Former Bear now hates the team. Tom Waddle can't be trusted.
Finally been driven to rooting for the Packers. I got the Eagles, the Saints, and the Niners as my wild card team.
Bears.
Wait a second. You don't have anyone else from the North in there either.
You're right. Extra including the Packers are out. Packers out.
Come on. There is so much Bears hate behind the glass.
Well,
there's no clean sweep. There's no.
Okay,
read
well, I've got
it. Small hands, small expectations.
All right,
you
guys.
You're the perfect paper boy. You really are.
He's old-timey baseball voice. He's paper boy guy.
I was born in the wrong era.
You were.
All right, guys. I've got the Saints, the 49ers, and
you hate the Bears. There's no chance.
Pick the Lions.
The Los Angeles Rams.
Wow, the first Rams pick.
I think the three of us so far, before Mr. Paper Route guy speaks, none of us really believe in the NFC North this year.
Well, what's my headline?
I've like got the
What's Chris's headline?
Hater. I've got the Bucks. The 49ers
and
the Green Bay Packers. Sorry.
So none of us have the Bears getting to the postseason.
No. I think we all have them at about. But
Twitter's going to have fun with us, aren't they?
Listen, none of us think they're going to suck.
Listen,
Abdallah only, he says minimum six wins, right? That's their minimum?
Yeah. Listen, last year, do you know how the division ended up last year? The Packers were 13-3, the Vikings were 10-6, the Bears were 8-8, and the Lions were 3-12, 3-12-1. I think it's going to be the Packers at probably like 10-6, and the Vikings Bears are going to be 8-8. The Lions are going to be 7-9, and you're only going to get one team in. It's going to be the division winner, despite the extra wild card team.
I think the Packers are going to be like 9-7 or 8-8 too. So,
well, they could even get in. Somebody's going to win the division. Somebody may win that division at 9-7.
I don't know.
That's what the Eagles did last year.
Those are our predictions right there. And Barstool Big Cat will give us his thoughts on the Bears and picking Trubisky and tonight's game between the Chiefs and the Texans. We'll talk to Big Cat in 2 minutes, thanks to our friends at Legal Rideshare.